Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Thank you for spending this time with us. Today we're going to begin our show with a devotional from Sweet Tea for the Soul. And you know how I love that book. And the title of our devotion is The Hurrier I Get. Our scripture is, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Proverbs 21:5. And it's from the Message Bible. We're all in a hurry these days. Our employers sometimes breathe down our necks to rush an important project through too quickly, often with poor results, proving the old saying that there's never enough time to do it right the first time, but always enough time to do it over again. In this age of instant everything, it is hard not to interpret God's delays as denials. We want what we want when we want it. Yet the discipline of delay is another expression of God's love for us. The Apostle Paul was a get-up-and-go kind of guy. He shared the gospel in at least 50 cities and would likely have continued sharing if he had not been imprisoned. The energetic apostle must have wondered what possible good he could do stuck behind bars. Yet in those quiet hours, he was able to sit down and write his letters to the church. In the stillness of the life, Paul contemplated what God wanted him to accomplish, though he would likely never have imagined his sentence to be God's will for his life. And our faith check is, we all think we know what's right for us, but God our Father truly knows what is best. Practice will perfect and prepare us for the work ahead. And our quote for the day is, what did the snail say when it was riding on the tortoise's back? Whee! Well, that's a pretty interesting saying. Do you remember that? We have many prayer requests today. We're going to pray for a family. Well, let's just lift it up to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. We ask that you be with a family that just lost a child, Lord. You know the pain and agony of losing a dear child. Just be with them, wrap your arms around them, and comfort them. And Lord, we're going to pray for those that lost everything in recent tornadoes. Just, I thank you, Lord, because the people are so generous. Just be with them and help them to see that you are carrying them through these trials. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of your comfort to us, the still small voice. I thank you for the provisions that you give us. And I hold up this show that it will be a blessing to our listeners. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, today we're going to talk about some education fair ideas during our arts and crafts and curriculum time. So the education fair, what is it? Why is it of value? And how do you go about doing it? As a homeschooling family, you may be involved with an association, but even if you don't have an association, it is good to have your students go through the discipline of doing a education poster display. You can call it a fair, you can call it a poster session, a poster board display. So the fun thing is that each child gets to really explore a topic that they're interested in. For example, let's talk about a history fair. And I think it's good to make every year a different topic. One year could be math. The next year could be STEM. Or you could have an art fair. Or you could do a Bible fair. Whatever you choose to do, it's nice to kind of make a yearly calendar of what you're going to do each year when it comes time for the poster display boards. And the older the student is, the more rigorous their research is. You can take, and I have my students do research in this way. They first brainstorm for a topic, and then they take the topic and they develop 4 or 5 questions of what they want to know about that topic, and they list them right under their topic working title. And then after that, they go and they do research at the local library, online. And so they find a site. They have to, this is grades 6 and above, they have to put the site in MLA style reference. And then under that, they make just a 2-square table. In the 1 square, they put the exact quote in the page that they found it on. And on the other side, they rewrite it in their own words. And they do 3 to 4 of those. And you can do more, but you know, when you're first starting out, that might be a pretty big task. And then we talk about writing the outline. And you can do a sentence outline. Sometimes that's the easiest kind of outline to do at the beginning. You can write your paper in a 5-paragraph essay style. There's lots of videos to check to see how to do that. And after that, they start writing their paper. Once they have that paper written, now they have lots of great material for their poster board. They can get pictures offline, they can draw pictures, they can take little interesting snippets from their board, but I always have them put a few questions on their board. Put a few questions on their board that they know the answer to, but someone walking by that poster board might not know the answer to. And just, you know, look at, help each other, come up with all kinds of creative ideas, and you can make this project last quite a few weeks. If you can just let them say, okay, this is the time that we're going to, everyone's going to do their own research. For your little ones, kindergarten age, they might be doing lots of pictures and just decorating their board with all kinds of interesting things, whatever is creative for them. Remember, the education fair or the poster session, whatever you choose to call it, is a time where your child can be creative, they can really learn about their topic, and they become the expert on that topic. So when the day comes that you actually do your poster session or your education fair, they're both the same kind of thing, even if it's just in your home, you will enjoy so much going by each poster and adjudicating it yourself. I like to bring in judges. I can always find some retired person that's willing to come in and adjudicate my students' posters. And it's a pretty big deal because they get to display and do their information. And I give them certificates or ribbons or something just to acknowledge the hard work that they have done. So that is a wrap up for an art, a curriculum all integrated together. It's a great, great project. It's just a great learning experience, and it's something that you'll want to incorporate into your homeschooling curriculum ever after. Questions homeschooling families ask. Well, the question we have today is from Jenny, and she says, how much schoolwork should you keep from previous years? We're getting ready to move, and I need to purge as much as possible. I have years of my father's world notebooks, which I could save, and I have some non-consumables I can sell. My problem is for the last 2 years we used timber doodle and the materials used are more difficult because I don't know whether to keep them or not. And then this year we're using online curriculum and from now on it's going to be online. Any help welcomed. And my question is, are you keeping these items out of sentimental? Do they have sentimental value? Is there work that your children did in them that you don't want to get rid of? And then another person that responded said, well, you could scan to a hard drive or to the cloud and then toss the originals. I'm kind of on the fence here because I always try to keep some work from my students. I like to see how they grow from year to year. And it's really cool also to show them a picture that they did in kindergarten and compare it to the artwork that they're doing now. So that being said, I hope that helps with how much you should keep and how much you should throw. It's really all up to you. The next question that we have is, has anyone gone back to the old school homeschooling, and that is not using the internet? She goes, I started out that way 20 years ago and just seems all we do now is on computers. I'm considering going back to the majority of non-tech. Has anyone else done that? Well, I'm happy to say that I was totally homeschooled without any technology whatsoever, and I think I turned out all right. And I'm here to say the more you can do without technology, the better. Because we're just now, research is just coming now out on how bad all those gamma rays are for those developing brains. So that's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth and go from there. Today's guest is Kathleen Cook, and that's with the E on the end of Cook. Thank you for being with us. And I just want to kind of excite you about what's coming up the second half of the show. Kathleen is a media executive, producer, actress, writer, and global speaker. And we're going to talk mainly today about the Influence Lab, but there's other things that you might want to check out. So I'm going to give you all three of her websites, and that is Cook Media Group, and that's COOKE mediagroup.com, or influencelab.com, or kathleencook.com, and that's KathleenCook cook with an E on the end of it.com. And I just really appreciate you being here with us today, but we have to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll start the actual interview. Stay with us. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162. So I'm standing here in front of Ginger Hubbard's a booth. She also was a guest speaker at the homeschool convention here in Nashville. Thank you for taking a few minutes. Just explain what you do.
Thanks, Rose. It's so great to be here. I'm at Teach Them Diligently in Nashville, Tennessee, and one of my favorite things in the whole world to do is encourage parents to reach past the outward behavior of their children and really learn how to address the issues of the heart, because there's so many parents today who focus only on that outward behavior of their children. They've kind of developed this philosophy that if they can get their children to act right, to behave, that they're raising them the right way, but there is far more to parenting than getting our children to act right. We have to get them to think right and to be motivated out of a love of virtue, a love for God, rather than a fear of punishment. So that's what I'm all about, is really helping those parents that struggle with things like bribing and threatening and counting to three and raising their voices and repeating their instructions. So basically what I do is really encourage parents to move past the frustrations of not knowing how to handle issues of disobedience and into a confident, heart-oriented, biblical approach to raising their kids.
I love the idea. You have some banners in here that's something like, "I can't believe you just said that." Biblical wisdom for training your child's tongue. And our listeners can go to GingerHubbard, that's all spelled out, .com, and learn more.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com.
Thank you, Kathleen, for being with us. I know my listeners are probably awed sometimes at the guests that I get, the caliber of guests, that God has used you in such a magnificent way. Let's start at the beginning. When you began your life, did you think you would be part of this media
phenomena, the
yes,
craziness
this is
of it?
Awesome.
Well, good morning and lovely to be with you. And interesting background a bit. I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada. We used to call it, and it's still called, Sin City. But I grew up in a very charismatic and wonderful family that kept me connected with my roots, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And but it was an interesting place growing up, because my father was a school teacher as well. He was actually recruited to be the first basketball coach in 1949 for Las Vegas High School, when Las Vegas actually became a city. Bugsy Siegel had built his first hotel or casino gambling place in 47, and Vegas went literally from a watering hole to a community. And my father had been a big basketball star and had recruited him. So I grew up within the education system and eventually went on to be a teacher as well for a few years. But Vegas was a very interesting place to grow up, mainly because it was such a transient community. People would come in for their fame and fortune and then realize they've lost it all. And it still holds the record or the highest suicide rate in the country because of so many people that come and are desperate. And so it was an interesting place growing up, very transient. In Vegas, people didn't come to go to the theater or to the ballet or the symphony. No fine arts there, of course. So my passion was dwelt within me as a child. My mother got me an outdoor trash can and would put costumes, or I would make them into costumes from flea market finds and the Salvation Army and places like thrift stores. And I would go after school and create my own characters and create my own shows and plays, not realizing that as an adult I could actually do that later on in life, and that God was actually back then putting those seeds of who and what he wanted me to do in the future back then into my heart and mind.
You know, I think of all the times we have dress-up clothes for kids, we don't realize that it might be a providential thing. Now, you began what is called the Influence Lab. Now, that's specifically for women in media?
Yes, yes. So women in...
Tell me a little bit about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so, and I'm going to just finish a little bit of that last conversation. I would encourage listeners out there to pay attention to their kids. Pay attention. Which one, you know, if this is the kind of stuff they're doing now, that might be something that's really ingrained in them. So I always tell parents and listeners, pay attention to your kids. You know, if they like playing with that doctor kit, maybe that's something they really want to do in the future. So pay attention to that. But yeah, let's go on to Influence Women. InfluenceLab.com is the site. And I host a bi-monthly journal called the Influence Lab or Influence Women's Journal. You can go to InfluenceLab.com/women and sign up for that. It's focused for women mainly in media and entertainment, but women who are involved in media. So if you are an avid fan of media, films, and television, I think this would also be something that would be encouraging in your life and inspirational. And if nothing else, I'd love people that follow me to pray and to support us, because we are in what I call the mission field of Hollywood.
It's so true. Yes. I grew up very conservative. We never went to theater. And then lo and behold, we have, my niece is just finishing her master's in film here at Liscombe mm-hmm. University. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, the whole family was so aghast. How are you going to remain a Christian and do yes. that? But God needs people.
We need
in that
people.
Industry.
We need people. And believe it or not, there are a lot of Christians in Hollywood these days. When we moved and started our production company there in '91, Cook Media Group, it was pretty barren, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that past Christians, and I think meaning well, mm-hmm. would come and protest Hollywood and talk about the evils of it in a horrible place it was. And you know what? That did a lot of damage. And so a lot of Christians had to stay what I call inside the closet. And mm-hmm. Several years ago, we were able to come out a little bit, and it was through grace and mercy and understanding that the people working in Hollywood are, it's a business. And so you have to understand the culture of it. So that's part of what Influence Women does. It teaches people about the culture of Hollywood, that and the needs and the reasons people come there to actually try to work, and why they have. Mm-hmm. But we are just people like everyone else. And Influence Women is designed then to encourage them. And then also, as Christians, to be what I call wisdom warriors. In other words, mm-hmm. we are bombarded with about 5,000 media messages a day, statistics tell us. And a lot of times we just hear all this chatter and noise going on without really understanding the depth of the conversation. And I think once we understand the conversations and issues as media people working within media, then we're able to use wisdom. And so as we create projects, as we create productions and various things that we're involved in, then we're able to take that wisdom and actually apply it in understanding who the audiences are, what their needs are, and how to speak the language of our world and culture today.
So you could counsel a family who maybe had that free-spirited, acting out, creative person, that there's a place for that child in media.
Absolutely. And in fact, there's a group that I am a part of that is focused just on children. And it's a site that a woman overseas, so that as parents, they can pray for their children who are working in the business as well. So that's the kind of community that we live in. I'm on the board with the Hollywood Prayer Network, which is designed to pray for those of us who are in media, and have those who are outside of media pray for us in media, because we desire very much to have that support from people who say, you know, there's nothing great coming out of Hollywood mm-hmm. these days. How can we change that? Well, we're changing it. We're changing it from the inside out, and we need support. So we love the prayers of those who are not working in media to be a part of that as well.
That is so encouraging. So listeners, you can go to influencelab.com or kathleencook.com. Did you have another site that they could go to that isn't on my list?
Well, other than Cook Media Group, and again, Cook has an E on the end,
yes.
But if they'll go to influencelab.com, and if they do just /women, they can go right in and sign up for the journal. And I give a free 2-week devotional from my devotional Hope for Today when you sign up. So yeah.
Yes,
and then I do a weekly blog at kathleencook.com.
I want to talk more about that, but we've come to the end of our show, so we'll come and get you for part 2 of this.
Great.
Okay.
I'll be here.
I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.